Having spent part of my Women's Day at the Castle of Good Hope, I was very happy to be able to chat and catch up with Calvin Gilfillan. He is one of the country's foremost experts in the tourism and heritage sector. And without giving away Calvin's youthfulness, let me just say that he's been in the industry for 32 years now and counting. On the research, the cultural tourism side, on the marketing side, governance, strategic planning. He's what we call a Renaissance man, and he has a full 360 understanding of everything that makes up the heritage sector. He is the CEO of the Castle Control Board, the body that manages, that's a statutory body, right? That manages South Africa's
Yes.
oldest colonial building, the Castle of Good Hope. And we all in our lifetime as visitors to Cape Town or as residents have been at the castle for a function or to take some young person to tell them all about this wonderful space, or we've come here tourists. So it's been part of our narrative for many, many years. And it's just wonderful to be able to catch up with Calvin and see the work that he has done, changing the image of the Castle of Good Hope, because in our minds and coming from the legacy that we do, we equate this as a bastion of colonial conquest. We see it as one of those pillars of apartheid oppression. And he has managed to do something quite phenomenal. He has changed from that legacy to a symbol of inclusion, healing, retribution, education, nation building, and a place of fun, a place where you can come and watch the sunset or come to a wonderful exhibition or some function with wonderful catering, by the way, Calvin, in those many, many spaces that make up the castle. And when I was there the other day, I saw some refurbishments happening. So I'm looking forward to hearing about that as well. So without further ado, I am introducing the wonderful Calvin Gilfillan, who is a longtime resident of the Western Cape, having been born here and attended the local universities, etc. To our listeners today, he is going to tell us about his journey that brought him here and, of course, about the Castle of Good Hope. Calvin, a warm welcome to you. Wonderful to have you with us on the show today.
Wow, Janet, thanks for the introduction. It gives me goosebumps, but it also it's kind of an almost overstatement because I always want to present to me as a humble servant of the people who's trying with what life has offered me in terms of experience and expertise, education, try just to use that to improve the lives and to strive for higher levels of humanity for all, whether it's you, whether it's the president, whether it's the homeless people outside of the castle, whether it's my own family. That's what I always strive for. You left out one thing out of my your introduction, and I need to tell this to the listeners, that I'm a
Please do.
complete feminist also, and happy August Women's Month. So
Always
that
good to
side,
meet a fellow feminist, Calvin.
that
Always.
side, that side of me is groomed by family, my mother, my father, my political mentors, many of them not with us. So in fact, much of what I've achieved is through the women in my life who's supporting, who's guiding, who's nurturing, who's warning. Women also have this, you have sometimes when you're in a thing, there are blind spots, but I was always lucky to have women to guide me through that difficult times. Yeah, but thanks for the
Wonderful.
introduction.
You're very welcome. So, Calvin, quite a journey, and I'm li reading through your list of publications. Really, phenomenal to read because you are carving out a space and writing history. And it's important that history is written and it's recorded and it is also captured so that a new story can be read, a new rhetoric can be experienced. I want you to give our listeners a brief overview of your of your career journey, if I could call it that. Because this is not a career, this is a passion, and I can see that. So just a quick overview, bird's eye picture. Where does
Yeah,
Calvin come
just
from?
just quickly. I'm from West Cape, born and bred in a small, not now any small anymore. In the 60s, it was quite small, Paarl, outside of Cape Town, about 40 minutes drive from the city center where I'm doing this interview from, Janet. So I was born and bred there, grew up in the dusty streets of Paarl East after apartheid has removed people from White Paarl or Paarl West to Mbekweni, Langabuya, and to Paarl East. So that part, that 60s, early 70s, kind of formed me from worldview. I don't want to call it ideologically, but it shaped my worldview, the way that I look at things, the way that I think, interact, do, react, write, read. And it was very important because the subsequent journey then from primary school in Amstel and Paulus Joubert, and then to UWC, the University of the Western Cape, under the legendary Jake Scherwel and other people, have really, shaped my personhood, and really sensitized you around not only apartheid but injustice, inequality. So when you see injustice, you don't have to theorize about it. It's there. I can see the injustice
Exactly.
in this very building that I'm in. Who was building it? If you talk about history and the rewriting of history, how the narrative is that the Dutch settlers has built this building, but denying the fact that enslaved hands, Khoi and San, women, and all of them written out of history is now, it is now denied that history. And that's my purpose being here. All of that education that I talked to you about, at UWC in the 80s, the tumultuous days of the anti-apartheid struggle, but then in the late 80s, being part of the release of Nelson Mandela, while you're also completing your master's degree and doing some PhD studies, but we have almost two parallel educations, education by book and education by people taking your hands, by the community, the broader mass democratic movement. So to have all of that experience, and as I say, expertise, life experience from those institutions, which I can briefly summarize as the extended family, the University of the Western Cape, and the mass democratic struggle, as really, when I started here in 2013, helped me to deal with, I would say, with quite a challenging part of our history, which is this, cast this Pentagon, this five-star Castle of Good Hope, with both its tangible and intangible history that speaks about oppression, speaks about exclusion, speaks about, anti-women, anti the oppressed, and how do you change that around? So that's briefly where I'm coming
Absolutely.
from.
Wonderful. So, Calvin, we learned a little bit about you. I'm very excited to hear what the future plans. Where is the castle at now? I know it's been in the news because of the people that are resident outside the castle, using it as a space, as a place of refuge, etc. Please tell us a little bit about the castle, and then we'll talk in a bit about the future plans.
Interestingly, I was just addressing a group of army generals and colonels in the SANDF Lock Division, Lock School Division, about what their perceptions of the castle is. So, in their mind, it's a castle that was built 300 or more than 350 years ago as a halfway station. Every governor was ruling from here. The army governed from here, but they. The general who introduced me then said, since he came here a decade ago, he took that difficult story of the castle and introduced both tangible interventions like museums and monuments, and intangible, the music, the song, the festivals, the healing sessions, the Khoi and San people who have what we call now, their traditional healing ceremonies here, just to take it from that dark spot into where it currently is. And the one thing that they were so impressed with when they came here as children, 10, 20 years ago, There were only basically one or two museums. We've now added another nine museums on top of that, telling the entire story of humanity, of the people of the Cape, of the people of South Africa. So
That is
I think the
phenomenal,
base,
Calvin. It's time for me to make a revisit, and hopefully
yes, you
the
must go.
CEO will be available. I'll wear my tacky so we can walk and talk as we go along and learn all about these new additions.
Yes. What in fact, on the website, I do warn people, not women in particular, all people, to wear flat shoes and do sun hats if they come in summer, because they
So they're
think it's an in and
open.
out. This is not,
Yes.
yes, this is not one museum. This is not in and out. This is a almost a transcendental moment where you go and you deal with the physicality that's colonial, but then you open the spaces and you see, oh, there's a picture of Kretua. There's Doman. There's
I
an
saw
enslaved.
that.
There's Tuan. There's Tuan Guran. There's all of these things, and some people are quite overwhelmed by it and emotional by it. I often see people cry here. On Saturday, for instance, we had the Griqua Royal House, commemorating Adam Kok, and that, and some of the participants cried, not only because they were here for the first time, but because they felt a spirituality, good, bad, ugly, sweet, sour, that drove them to tears. So that's the space. So 10 or 15 years ago, when it was just sanitized, a kind of military base, you only go to some spaces, you are locked up in the dark room, what do you call it, or the donker gat, and you scream as a child. That kind of fun was so one-dimensional and so pro-colonialism, so singly, vocally, that the multiplicity of voices, the intersectionality of bringing all gender, race, whatever, bringing in our displays, got lost in that. And that is what we're trying to give you. I know that the tours are still only 40 minutes, but if you come with your flat shoes and you bring you here, I'll take you on a journey that will make you cry, or at least
No,
ponder where we
I
are and where
want
we're
that
going to.
experience. I definitely
You will
want
get
that
that experience.
experience. So when we were there for Women's Day, Calvin,
Yeah.
and I'm sending you the two pictures that we took. One of my friends
Yeah.
is currently sitting on the bench, so we put her on the bench, and we said on the
Yeah.
bench even on Women's Day. We had a lot of fun. And then I stood at that iconic entrance and I said, Queen of the Castle.
Yes.
So we
Yes. No.
celebrated in our
You
own
are
silly
all.
way.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
No, it's wonderful.
celebrated.
Sorry, Janet. I was saying that often people call me the king of the castle, and I don't want to be, that brings other connotations. But when people are here, and one very fierce critic of the castle, after coming for years here and throwing like kind of criticism out to us, said now eventually can see now that we've changed this old, drabby castle of good hope into a palace of the people. And I never thought
Oh, I
about
love
that. And
it.
now that you see, now that you say that you are the queen of the castle, my daughters will be the princesses of the castle. I mean, let's use these colonial concepts, but let's turn it on the head. Let's
So
metaphorize it, and let's make it fun. Yeah.
we had come to the African Queen's legacy with us, and the legacy is our own context. So we didn't see it in a colonial context. We just saw it in the
Yes.
context of a couple of girls out for Women's Day, saying, "We are the queens of today. Let the light shine," kind of thing. And yeah, so we made it our own, if I could say that.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Lots of fun. Lots
I
of fun.
love it. I love it. I love that.
So now, Calvin, we've talked a lot about the legacy. I want to talk about the current, what I saw some construction happening. You want to share with us, what is happening there at the castle? What are the future plans? Or is
Yeah,
that just
Janet, as you
routine
know,
maintenance?
let me tell you, in the heritage space, there are things that's public, there are things that's private, There's things that's sacred and secret. So there is something about what you saw on Women's Day when you visit the Queen of the Castle, rewriting our history project, that contains elements of all of that. It's actually a very high profile Netflix movie that's been shot at the castle. They're at the end of that now. So very soon you will
Oh,
see the
I
castle in
see.
another guise. Yeah. So it's not construction. It looked like a construction site because they how these Hollywood, these Netflix Hollywood people are. They come. You know that the Woman King was also shot here.
I
Roots
heard,
was shot
love
here.
that.
There's a Black Sails was shot here. So there's a lot of movie industry, and it's part of the transformation journey. That if you only keep it as a monument in a museum, you don't address the external and internal pain that the castle has caused over 3 centuries. So when you see that the movie's been shot here and that movie goes out and people see that, when you have school children running on the grass in front of me as I speak to you, when you see the soldiers having a high level discussion there, when you see the soldiers marching to open parliament from here, when you see Tukan Flick, where almost 2,000 ladies in with their dukes, with their dukes sit on the lawn enjoying picnic and a glass of champers, then you know you have arrived. Then you know you have taken on the redemption journey of the castle and similar symbols of armed colonial conquest and apartheid. That it's when the people completely embrace it, take it on, they can mock with it even, but they deliberately deal with that heritage in a way that, as you said, it's empowering. You make it your own, internalize it, and present it in a way that's make it palatable for you and understandable for you and fit into the broader narrative of inequality, oppression worldwide. And we think Gaza, we think what's happening on our own continent in the DRC, we're thinking Myanmar, we're thinking Russia and Ukraine. So it
Absolutely.
suddenly makes sense because oppression in this happened in space, but also over time. And if I give people the platform here to see it as it is, it will liberate them to make up their own minds and not what the media is feeding to them on a daily basis.
Wow, Calvin. So as we chat, I just think that what we actually need is a fireside chat.
Of course.
A much longer chat and, get some other thought leaders around the table to discuss the castle, the improvements, and how it has become a space that is owned by all now. I think that, in the simple gesture of walking in with confidence, seeing it as a space where we could celebrate all that is women. On Women's Day, that we in a sense embrace that because we don't have that block in our minds that there's a cultural construct, there's a political construct. We simply entered the space. And I think that when people get to that point, even though there is that cognizance of what the history of the space was, but to be able to walk in and own it, I think it's a sign that you've done good work. In that space. So I want to commend you on that, and I want to say that I am looking forward to having further conversation with you. We have run out of time for the purpose of this podcast, but this is an open forum, so we can always congregate again and have a different conversation or continue our current conversation, Calvin. Been fascinating chatting to you, and I thank you for your time and thank you very much. For joining us on Jet Setting with Janet.
Thank you, Jet Setting Janet. I've also sent you a picture of something that you raised earlier, the unhoused individuals in the corner at the entrance of the castle. So this picture is the picture of International Rivers Day, where we invited that community to plant fruit trees for us inside the castle And I sent you the picture with the blooms of the almond tree to end off this wonderful discussion.
Oh, what a
Keep
wonderful,
up the beautiful
empowering
work.
way to end. I think that is so fantastic, and I hope you will keep in touch and that we will be apprised of future happenings at the castle so that we can come and enjoy those events with you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you to your listeners.